Jake from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hey, Darren.
Hey.
How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, just kind of a quiet, uneventful week here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Let's review. Georgia had their election.
That was good. That was good.
They elected the two Democrats, so they shifted the Senate over to Democrat, which is good.
That's great.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Stacey Abrams doing great work.
Mitch McConnell now Senate Minority Leader.
Hey now.
He's gonna have to change his Twitter handle and everything.
Oh my god.
It's gonna be awesome.
May have to change his password. Who knows?
The Joe Biden's election was certified.
That was good.
Let's see. White supremacists stormed the Capitol. What else?
Wait, what?
What? Huh?
Yeah. That happened. I mean, usually we try not to get political, or, you know, we try to make this like a nice little lighthearted respite from the evils of the world. But I mean, it's tough sometimes to do that when shit like this happens.
Shit is going down, you guys.
Oh,
that happened on Wednesday of this last week, and woo. It was a lot to absorb, man. I just saw it on my news feed on my phone when I was at work on Wednesday. Come home, I was just glued in front of the news the rest of the night.
Yeah. Guys, we're in the first week of the new year. This happened the first week.
Yeah. It became 2021 just a short 20 years / 7 days ago. Wow.
Mother of God. Yeah. I was glued to the TV, just could not believe what I was seeing. Of course, going online, everybody was aghast. Unfortunately, I did see a few Jersey comics that I think you and I both, I knew of one of them. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
That were down there that would add the thing who I've,
Yeah. I didn't realize that until a few days later. I was like, oh, that person's there. That's interesting.
Yeah. And there was another person I know, another comic who was down there. And, you know, they were like, oh, it's not, this is what the news isn't showing you. And I was like, oh, you're that now?
Yeah, so
I've since unfriended them, and it's just like, God, what is happening to this world? My Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll have to talk a little more off air.
We'll ditch.
Yeah.
It's one person that was actually almost on our podcast, like maybe like a year ago, but we didn't.
Yeah. I was going to talk to you about that. I was like, I guess that invitation is rescinded.
I mean, look, we try to be open-minded people, and, you know, we don't want to, you know, crush. We don't want to crush. We don't want to, like, kind of, we're open to all thoughts and everything, but, like, I don't know, when you're coming out with thoughts from that perspective, it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, there are certain deal breakers, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think that's the best way to put it. There are certain deal breakers, and this last week has made certain deal breakers very, very clear.
Yeah. You know, you got to draw a line in the sand somewhere. You got to stand for something and be a detective.
You know, and it's like all the people resigning from the Trump administration right now. And it's like, well, were you cool with everything that was happening right up until this point?
I think so. I really think it was that thing where, like, because it was happening, you know, outside of their world a little bit. They didn't really think of it as real, but it's not until they came to their house and started going into their office where they work. That's when it's like, Oh, this is real. This is real. This isn't, you know, I guess up until then, maybe they just saw it as like a reality show, or like, you know, they didn't realize the severity of it, even though all of us were telling them, hey, we're concerned. This shit is getting crazy.
Yeah, this is bad. This is, and you know, like even when the fellow in the White House when he was campaigning. There were a lot of people out there saying, like, no, this is bad. You don't know. This is leading to a bad place. This is really bad, you guys. And
yeah. Like, people,
I mean, I've seen clips of, like, you know, like a pundit on a news show saying, like, well, no, I think he could get the nomination. I think he could go all the way. And, like, the anchors are actually laughing because it just seems so absurd. But, I mean,
yeah,
reality has overtaken satire.
It is. It's a joke that's gone too far. I mean, even on SNL, like, I still remember when he was scheduled to host a second time, and, like, I think, like, it was Taryn Killam were saying, like, you could hear the protesters downstairs as they were going over the read-throughs and the scripts for that night's show. And even he was like, yeah, they were totally right. We were totally wrong. I'm so, like, embarrassed and ashamed of that show.
Yeah,
I don't even think it's an episode you can find anymore streaming.
I don't know about that. I've never sought it out. I intentionally did not watch that episode. If you want to call that a protest or boycott or whatever, it's just I had no interest in seeing it then. And I really don't want to see it now.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch it just out of, I guess, some morbid curiosity, and it was awkward. You could tell, like, a lot of the cast members were like, "Oh, I don't want to be doing this." Like, you could tell. I mean, yeah, no one, like, walked out and at a protest, like, you know, Nora Dunn in the 80s or anything like that. But, like, you could tell they were very, they weren't giving it 100%. They're very hesitant to do this episode.
It
had a very awkward energy to it.
I remember him hosting, like, a few years before. Like, I remember during, like, the Amy Poehler years, there was a thing where he was in a chicken suit and they were doing, like, a commercial jingle to the tune of Jump by the Pointer Sisters.
Yes, the Trump House of Wings, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that just because I remember Amy Poehler in the chicken suit and just sort of dancing on and off set.
Yeah, and then he was, like, kind of dancing. And he literally was, like, dancing the same way he danced at that one of his rallies.
Yeah, when they crank up Macho Man or...
Yes, it was like, wow, he really didn't learn any new steps from now and then. He's just...
Yeah, no. He does not have the moves.
Yes. He does not have the moves like Jagger.
He does not. He does not. So, I mean, we had some discussion back and forth. We were talking about, you know, what to do for this week. And the movie we're doing this week is Idiocracy from Mike Judge and starring Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, yeah.
They're right there, two SNL connections.
Boom. This movie directed by Mike Judge. It's his second movie after Office Space, which we've talked about. Written by Mike Judge and Ethan Coen, not Ethan Coen. Mm-hmm. Ethan Coen, he was a guy who wrote on Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill.
Right.
He
wrote the Garfield movie.
Whoa, really?
And Bill Murray supposedly agreed to do it because he thought that Ethan Coen was one of the Coen brothers. Now, I don't know if that's Bill Murray joking in an interview or if he sincerely thought that. But that's how Bill Murray ended up doing the Garfield movie.
Yeah, I really do wonder, like, how far Ethan Coen has gone on with, you know, in his career because of his name. Because, like, I looked at it, he also co-wrote Tropic Thunder, which we've talked about.
Yeah, and good movie.
And he also wrote and directed the infamous Holmes and Watson with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. I still have yet to see that. I know it's supposed to be horrible, but I'm very curious about that because I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan, and those guys have done some good stuff. But, you know, I hear it's bad.
I haven't seen it either. But I think a friend of mine, or J.L. Colvin, who we've had on the podcast, he said, like, the first few minutes are actually pretty funny, but then, like when they're, because they, I think it starts with them as kids, and that part's kind of funny. But then after that, when they grow up, it takes a steep nosedive. In the footy department.
Yeah, well, I'll have to check that out someday. But you know, with everything that happened this week, we just said it's the time to do Idiocracy. There will never be a better time, and it's a nice way to sort of mark the end of the Trump era, I suppose.
Right. So this movie came out in 2006, I believe September 2006. Had a budget of like between 2 and 4 mil. End up making
low.
Yeah, end up making. Even lower, $495,000, but I mean that's mainly because of the studio. I think. I'm not going to blame it on the movie.
Yeah, that's some interesting backstory that I had no idea. So apparently, like, Mike Judge had it in his contract that the movie had to get released to theaters before it went to DVD. And the studio wanted to just dump it on DVD, but they legally could not do that. It had to get some kind of theatrical release first. So they gave it, like, the most minuscule theatrical release they possibly could.
Right, because the studio was nervous because it wasn't testing well in test audiences. It was getting, like, super low, like, ratings. So they had to recut it and reshape it a little bit for it to do a little bit better. And I think they were also nervous because in this movie, they mention a lot of corporations by name, like Costco, Starbucks, Carl right. Jr. And yeah. That made, you know, Fox very jittery and nervous. And I do remember, like, when this movie came out, I was actually looking forward to it. Like, I remember reading about it. I remember reading about it in probably Entertainment Weekly and online. And it just seemed like a really cool premise. And I liked Mike Judge. And I was like, oh, this might be really dope. And I remember maybe like a month or two before it was supposed to come out, it kind of hit me. Hey, wait, this movie's supposed to come out in a month. I haven't seen any trailer for it. I haven't seen any commercials for it. I haven't seen any print ads for it. It's like, I haven't seen anything about it. And then like a month later went by and I saw, I think that movie was in one theater in Manhattan. And I was like, that's weird. It should be in a wider release. And I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll go see it next week when it's in Queens and I can, like, it'll be closer to home and I can go in and watch it in a matinee. The next week comes, it's not in any theater. It's not in that Manhattan theater. It was just gone. It was like a figment of my imagination. It's like I dreamed the whole thing.
I mean, actually, I was reading up on this. According to Wikipedia, it was not released in New York at all. It says it was only released as scheduled in seven cities: Los Angeles, Atlanta, Toronto, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, and Mike Judge's hometown of Austin, Texas. Really? So they skipped over New York completely, apparently.
Exactly. How do you do that? Like, whenever they put a movie out on limited release, it's always New York, L.A. So the fact that they didn't even put it out in New York is like, that's really weird.
Yeah, that's a cue they, I don't think they really believed in this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like because of this, it kind of soured Mike Judge's need to direct a movie, at least for a while, because I think after this, his next movie was Extract, but I don't think he did it with Fox. But
Yeah, but
I mean, that's got to suck that, like, they just, like, bury this movie just to make sure no one sees it. Because, like, yeah, I was like, one of the few people that was looking forward to watching it, and I didn't find it anywhere. I wasn't able to see it till it came out on DVD or something.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had never seen this movie all the way through. I'd seen bits and pieces of it. Like, I, you know, caught some on TV, but I'd never sat down and watched it from beginning to end before. So this was, like, my first time watching the whole thing straight through.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, neat. Okay. Well, I look forward to your thoughts on it, good sir.
So, you know, should we dive in?
Let's dive in. Let's do it. This movie is really something. We'll get into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of narration in this movie.
A ton. Like, I think isn't the narrator the same dude that was in that did the narration for the first part of Anchorman? It sounded like his voice.
It is not the same person, I don't believe. I can't find his name right now. Let me see. I don't have it handy, but no, I mean, the person on Anchorman was like an actual newscaster, but they do have a similar sounding voice.
Yeah, like since the dawn of time. Like, he had like one of those type of.
It's Earl Mann.
What's that?
Earl Mann is the name of the narrator.
That's quite a name.
So, all right. Let me just double check, but I'm pretty sure he was not the Anchorman guy.
Okay. Earl Mann.
Nope, not listed for Anchorman.
Earl Mann is all man.
So you're just wrong. You're a wrong person who's wrong.
I'm two for two.
You need to sit there in your wrongness.
Wow, I'm not getting anything right today. What the hell's wrong with us?
No. I mean, and it just goes to prove the premise of this movie that people are getting stupider over time.
Yeah, I mean, so basically in the movie,
or maybe it's more stupid. I don't know.
Stupider, stupidies, stupid.
Stupidest. Stupid. More, stupidy. Yeah.
More people are getting more stupidy all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, the premise of this movie is that, you know, America is getting dumber. I think. Oh yeah, Mike Judge. He came up with this idea when he was visiting Disneyland with his family, and he saw two mothers who both had kids in strollers fighting and cursing each other out.
Yeah.
He thought it would be horrible if humanity was like this in the future.
Yeah, yeah. That's you can find inspiration anywhere.
Yes, Disneyland. Yeah, anywhere. And it was, yeah, so basically, the narration of this kind of starts off saying that evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence so right. much. And like with no natural predators to thin the herd, it begins to reward those who reproduce the most.
And they parallel this. We see a couple, like a young couple, they're like, oh, you know, we want to have kids, but it's not the right time for it. And it gives their IQs, like the guy's in the 140s and the woman's in the, I think, the 130s somewhere. And then they cut to like this sort of white trash couple, and the guy's like IQ is in the 80s. And they just keep, you know, popping out the Rugrats.
Yeah, like the kid, like the guy is just, he has a girl, but they have like 9 kids, and he gets another woman pregnant, and then he gets another woman pregnant, and then one of his kids grow up to be a teenager, and he's become the football jock, and then he gets all these other girls pregnant. So
right, like, and we see the family tree growing on the side of the screen, and we keep flashing back to the first couple who, like, you know, 5 years later they still haven't had a kid, 10 years later they still haven't had a kid because they keep overthinking it and talking themselves out of it. It's like, oh, we're not having a kid in this economy.
Right, exactly. And then I think at one point that the smart guy, he's like, he has issues with his sperm, and then they go, you know, 5 years later, and he like died masturbating, or he had a heart attack from masturbating.
He was trying to produce a sperm sample for like artificial insemination, I think.
Right. So the woman's like kind of, she's a widow and alone, but she froze her eggs, and once she meets the right guy, then they're going to have a kid. Meanwhile, the dumb people are just, you know, procreating like jackrabbits.
They're multiplying because they're dumb.
Yeah, they're multiplying.
That's what dumb people do.
I remember watching this when I first saw this, I was like, yeah, that seems kind of plausible. That seems...
Yeah, that checks out.
You know, dumb people be fucking.
And, you know, and certainly if you are a smart person, you can be your own worst enemy in that way. You can just overthink and talk yourself out of stuff.
Right. Yeah, very much so.
When sometimes it's better to just, you know, damn the torpedoes and forge ahead.
That's right. Just leave it in.
Yep.
don't pull out. Oh, God. Oh, crap.
So, I mean, we start out, I mean, after this little prologue thing, kind of explaining the basic premise that you know, dumb people are on the rise. We pick up with our film's protagonist, which is Luke Wilson as Joe Bowers, who is an army librarian, and he is selected for a special project because he is the most average person in the army.
Right. He's like of average intelligence, average all across the board. And they also reveal that he's not married, doesn't have kids. Both of his parents are deceased. He's an only child. So he's the perfect candidate to, you know, put into this experiment. And so in case something goes wrong, no one's around to ask questions or anything like that.
Right, right. And the experiment is the Human Hibernation Project, where the plan is just to, like, put him under in, like, suspended animation for a year just to see if they can do it for longer.
Yeah, like Austin Powers or or Futurama.
Yes, yes. They're doing like a Buck Rogers kind of thing. Yeah. And they can't find a woman in the army who is that thoroughly average. So they end up going to the private sector, and they go with Rita, played by Maya Rudolph, who is what is called a prostitute, which is apparently a woman who has sex with strangers for money.
What? That's a thing?
That is a thing. I was not aware of this occupation. But yes, apparently it is quite the lucrative field.
Clutch my pearls. I do. Yes. I never heard of such a thing.
Yes. So.
So yeah. So, So we have the officer Collins, who's heading up the project. He gets Rita's, you know,
he gets permission from her pimp.
Yes, her pimp named Upgrade.
With two D's at the end.
Yes, for a double D of pimping.
Yes.
And Upgrade is played by a real life rapper Scarface from the Ghetto Boys, who, if you remember, Office Space, they use the Ghetto Boys music quite a bit in a lot of scenes in that movie.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
It does. It really does. But yeah,
And this I think is a prime example of why pimping is not easy. The army is always taking your best hoes to go do an experiment with them for a year.
No diggity.
Yeah.
Now mean, son. Y'all now mean.
So the two of them, they're frozen for a year.
Even a year. I don't think it's not even a year because...
Well, the plan is to freeze them for a year, but the plan quickly goes awry when Collins is arrested because apparently he was, because of his friendship with the pimp Upgrade.
Right, yeah. They become quite friendly. He becomes enamored with the pimp lifestyle. At one point, he's checking out a gold tooth he got in the mirror, and he's like, oh, I like this. And of course, he gets arrested for, being in a prostitution ring. So of course him and Upgrade get arrested, and as such the top secret experiment that no one's supposed to know about gets quickly forgotten and shelved and just hidden.
The base is closed and a Fuddruckers is built in its place.
At that point I was like, they can do that? Just build a Fuddruckers on top of a army base?
Well, this was 2005. Fuddruckers was still riding high. Here in the dystopia of 2020, Fuddruckers not around quite so much.
Yeah, that's the one thing this movie doesn't get right.
I've got a Fuddruckers near me. It is thankfully still open, still in business. I would, back in the days when you could go to restaurants and eat in a restaurant, I would like to go there and enjoy their 1980s tunes, and I would always post about their 80s soundtrack and hashtag it Fuddruckers Dance Party.
Oh right, I remember those days.
Yeah. You were like, ask them to make me a mixtape.
Have them burn their playlist on a CD for me if they could.
Yeah. No, they played some cool stuff, and occasionally they would play like an 80s tune that was so obscure I would have to Google the lyrics to figure out what it was.
Oh, nice. Oh, sometimes they trick you. Yeah, you have to walk up to the DJ at the Fuddruckers and be like, yo, my man, what song is that?
Yeah.
Yo, you on the Onions. What song is playing over this?
So the chambers that they're stored in, they're basically forgotten about. And over the next 500 years, the planet, or at least America, just goes to hell.
The frozen chamber that they're in gets kind of plowed over with like garbage and stuff because they tore down the base, so they just get kind of stacked, have this garbage all stacked on them, and they just kind of get forgotten about, like you said. Planet gets dumber and dumber. The brightest mind.
It's like looking like in the movie WALL-E when you had those huge piles of garbage everywhere.
Dude, that's exactly what I thought about when I thought this movie, because I remember watching WALL-E and I was like, oh, this seems like what the future is going to be like. Because in like a lot of future movies, people picture the future as like us being like super intelligent and all this technology and whatnot. But
we're all wearing silver jumpsuits.
Silver
that are very flattering to the figure.
Yes, we all have ray guns. We know the drill. You look at that, but then when I saw WALL-E and I just saw that one scene where it's just all these obese people in floating chairs scooting around, eating while watching TV on a big screen, I was like, yeah, that looks way more like what we're
going to do. That seems more likely. The chamber's like on this huge garbage pile, and then they dump one beer can on top of the garbage pile, and that's enough to destabilize it and it causes what they call the Great Garbage Avalanche of 2505.
Right. You remember that.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the history book. So So yeah, so basically after that, there's a big garbage avalanche and the frozen chambers go sort of careening down the huge garbage mountain, and it crashes into this one man's apartment, played by Dax Shepard, goes by the name of Frito Pendejo.
And, yes.
And we see Frito watching a show called Ow My Balls on the Violence Channel.
Yes, yes.
And
he's watching on like a big screen TV, and like there's a whole board around the TV, and it's just filled with advertisements. But the most popular show is Ow My Balls, which is exactly what the title sounds like. It's one dude just getting hit in the balls constantly.
It's funny because he gets hit in the balls.
Yeah.
Because when you get hit in the balls, that's funny. It's balls.
Yeah.
And and plus there was that one scene, like you said, the one screen with the ads all over the screen. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, we kind of have that now with like pop-ups and shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, yeah, that's, you know, what we were on the way to in 2005.
Yeah. And I also noticed that one thing where Frito, he was in like a Barco lounger, like a recliner, but it was also a toilet.
He gets up at like several minutes into the scene and you see a toilet seat below him. So it's like, you don't even have to get up to do your business.
You can poop and eat and watch TV all at the same time. I mean,
that's the dream, right?
That's the future.
Yeah.
And so of course, Joe gets out of the frozen chamber. He's all discombobulated. Frito doesn't seem to be freaked out by it. He just seems, because, you know, I guess he's so dumb. He's like, hey, get out of here, you dummy, dumb, dumb.
Yeah, all he knows is that there's some dude there just distracting him from the television.
Yeah, like, I'm going to beat your ass, dumb, dumb. And he just leaves. And then we see Joe kind of wandering the streets, very confused and still loopy from being in the chamber for 500 years. He looks at the world around him. He's like, what the hell is going on here?
He tries talking to people, but the narrator informs us that because language has kind of devolved, it's just like, you know, and they think he talks just, you know, too highfalutin, and he's, you know, they use a certain F word that we're not going to use, but
yeah, that word gets kind of thrown around a lot in this movie, which I mean, that word, and there's another word where it's like, oh, it's a little cringy, but at the same time, I get it because, you know,
it's bad, stupid people using the word, but it's, you know, you still feel that little twinge when you hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Where it's like, I get it. Like, you know, stupid people would use that word because they don't have smart people to tell them not to. But it's still like, yikes. He sounds all highfalutin to them. How I imagine somebody maybe from like the 1800s would sound like fancy to us. Because, you know, if you ever watch like a Ken Burns documentary, we see somebody who's in the war writing back to their loved one back at home. You know, dearest Martha. It's like he's an average guy, but he talks really hoity-toity.
Yeah.
To us dum-dums now. So I imagine it'd be like that.
So, I mean, so Joe isn't quite sure where to go. He hasn't really realized that he's in the future yet. He goes to the local hospital, and we see like a map painting of the hospital, and they didn't, like, society is so dumb, they don't even fit the name of the hospital in the allotted space.
I love that, yeah. It was
the,
like,
letters kind of bunching up. And also, how weird is it that it's a movie from 2005 and we have so many matte paintings in it?
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I mean, that's just a marker of, like, what a low-budget thing it was. But I was like, you know, it's nice to see matte paintings. I miss matte paintings. A nice matte painting can really open your movie up.
Damn straight. He goes to St. God's Memorial Hospital. He tries to talk to the person behind the desk, telling him what's wrong with him. He's like, yeah, like my head hurts. I'm kind of dizzy. I'm not sure where I am. And I love it because like the person behind the desk isn't saying anything. He's just kind of, you know, blankly staring at him. And she's trying to figure out
as he describes his symptoms. And she just has a keyboard that's all just like pictograms of, you know, like if he says his head hurts, there's a pictogram of somebody grabbing their head and, like, you know, lightning bolts coming out.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically emojis if you think about it.
Yeah. They kind of are. Yeah.
Jesus. We also see like a Roomba like kind of on the ground saying, oh, this, your floor is clean. Your floor is clean.
Yeah. And it's just running into underneath a desk or something like that. And
right.
And nobody has a sense to straighten it out.
Right. So then we see Joe go into the hospital, and you know, it's so dirty and grimy in there, like no one knew. Mm-hmm. And then he goes sees the doctor, Dr. Lexus, played by Justin Long.
Yeah, a little surprise appearance by Justin Long there.
Right. And of course, you know, the doctor's like, yeah, basically, like, your shit's all fucked up. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, you know, the doctor comes in smoking a blunt.
Yeah.
But then also, we also see Joe kind of notices the magazines around, and it's like, oh, it's 2505. That must be a misprint. And then, yeah. Like, and of course, you know, Dr. Lexus says, oh, yeah, so, you know, that'll be, like, you know, how much, this much money in, you know, so just pay with, like, your tattoo. And then Joe gets the bill, and he says, the date says 2505. And he's like, hey, that's the same misprint on the magazine.
Yeah, and then he looks out the window, and he sees, like, just, you know, garbage everywhere. And there are buildings that have, like, toppled over and, like, are leaning up against other buildings. And they're just, like, held together with twine.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and then he finally, then that's when it finally hits him. He's like, oh, I'm in the future. It's 500 years in the future.
Right, and then, like, Dr. Lexus says, hey, how come you don't have your tattoo, which is like a barcode everybody has on their arm that right. You know, has all their information on it, or like, tells you who you are, and you pay for foods and things with your barcode on your arm. Which, right. I guess back then it seemed kind of far-fetched, but I think about it now, it's like, it's not really that different than, you know, our phones, because we're able to pay for things on our phones now and, like, through fobs and whatnot. So it's like,
yeah,
that kind of got it right.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Joe soon gets arrested for not paying his hospital bill, because, of course, he doesn't have any currency in the future, and for not having his tattoo. And so they arrest him, and then they take him to court, and... the judge, Stephen Root!
Mr. Root!
Stephen Root on the podcast, 2 weeks running.
The Root is on fire.
And just always fun to see him pop up. And, you know, of course he had a part in Mike Judge's previous film, Office Space, as Milton.
Yeah, there's a few connections to Office Space in this movie, which I...
A few Office Space actors that I spotted over the course of the movie. So that was fun.
Right. So, so Joe gets taken to court in a cage, like he's an animal. Yeah. And, of course, you know, it's the courtroom is more like a spectator sport than an actual courtroom. It's like people in the audience are like, yeah, fry him, burn him at the, you know, it's like very, very monster truck vibes.
Yeah.
Of course, Joe doesn't have a lawyer, so he gets a court appointed lawyer. And sure enough, his lawyer is Fredo from earlier on.
Dax Shepard, his own self.
Dax Shepard, that's right.
And yeah.
Of course, you know, they have the prosecuting lawyer make his case, and like, Your Honor, this dude's a dick. He doesn't have a tattoo, and he talks all, you know, weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it. He talks all weird and stuff. And
right.
Like, and yo, he's whack.
Shepard's character, Fredo, he's like, yeah, and he messed up my place, and, you know, he stole this stuff, and yeah. So the trial doesn't go Joe's way.
Yeah. And also another thing, like, I kind of noticed if you look in throughout the movie is everybody's kind of regular clothes has like a lot of logos on them, like corporate mm-hmm. logos. And that's just the way people dress. Another thing I noticed too is like a lot of people's names are like corporations' names. Like there's one character whose name was Tylenol. The star of Out of My Balls, his first name is Hormel. And so they were doing this thing where, like, corporations and, I guess, you know, human identity are kind of merged into one thing. So,
right.
Like, which I thought that was an interesting choice, too. And I also noticed that in a lot of scenes, you'll see people wearing Crocs. Because I think Mike Judge saw, like, because this came out in, you know, 09.
Yeah.
06, sorry. And, like, kind of, Mike Judge kind of saw, like, Crocs for the first time, and it was like, wow, that's a really dumb
yeah.
shoe.
I actually found something about that on an article on the website fastcompany.com. Mike Judge talks about that. He says the wardrobe had to be something that's not around now. It had to be created for a lot of extras, and so, you know, our wardrobe person was looking for ways to make the budget work, and Crocs were not out in the world yet. They were just a small startup at the time. We shot in 2004, so no one was wearing Crocs. And she showed me these things, and I thought, oh, those are great, just stupid plastic shoes. And I said to her, but you actually bought these. You can order these. What if by the time the movie comes out, these things are everywhere and it doesn't look like we're set in the future? And she said, oh, no, that's never going to happen. And sure enough, by the time it comes out 2 years later, everyone is wearing Crocs. So it already started coming true even faster than we made the movie, really.
I mean, the Crocs craze. What was that about?
I don't know. They're the ugliest damn things.
It's like them and Uggs. Like, for a while, like, those two shoes were, like, the shoes to wear.
Yep.
Yikes. All right. Well, oh, boy.
They were comfortable, but...
I'll tell on myself. I actually did wear, like, some Crocs for a little bit. They weren't that comfortable. It's like wiffle balls for your feet.
That's a great slogan. Wiffle balls for your feet.
They looked like wiffle balls on your feet. And I was like... Why is everybody loving these things? They're not that comfortable. I don't know. People look dumb.
I don't know. So Joe is sent to prison, and he gets a tattoo. They give him an IQ test. When he gets the tattoo, the questions that the computer is giving him are confusing. So his name comes out as Not Sure.
Yeah.
And he can't get the machine to correct it, so he's just registered as Not Sure.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I mean, there's another running theme throughout this thing where just automation just does everything for everybody and no one really talks, which, I mean, again, that's kind of what's happening now in the now times.
Yes.
But yeah, I also, so when they were taking Joe to prison, I love the escape scene or escape.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite bits in the movie. He's just lined up waiting to go in, and he escapes just by saying, like, oh, excuse me, I'm not supposed to be in this line. I'm actually getting out of prison today. And they're like, you're in the wrong line, dumbass. And everyone just believes him. That was great. I thought that was very clever.
Yeah, like that was pretty smart. So then we see him, like, you know, leaving the prison, and he has to, like, go out and say, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be leaving today. And of course they scan his tattoo, and the guy's like, well, you're not in the system to leave. And he's like, no, I'm definitely supposed to leave today. Just, like, look in the files in the back. And he's like, oh, okay. And as he's looking at the files, he just walks away.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and wow. Yeah, the people are just too dumb to go after him. And Joe also realizes, oh, well, I gotta find Rita, because she was put under at the same time I was. She probably came out of this at the same time as me. And while all this is happening with Joe, we find out that Rita's come out, and she's sort of quickly adjusted to the future world.
Yeah, she's gone back to her old tricks, we'll say.
Yeah, but being a prostitute is much, much easier, because people are easy to fool. Like, she tells one guy that she charges by the hour, and she keeps telling him, oh, just come back and I will have sex with you then.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll wait all day, girl.
And he's paying her for literally nothing.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. But yeah, so at this point, Joe goes back to Frito, asks him for his help, saying, you know, well, I'm in the future, so, you know, like, society must have evolved somewhat to have, like, a time machine or something like that. And then, of course, Frito's like, oh, yeah, we got a time machine. And So Joe talks to him and says, hey, you know, well, if you show me where the time machine is, I can go back in time. I'll put up a savings account that'll accrue over time. And, like, you know, you'll be able to get all this money. You know,
I like money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all that
stuff. I like money.
Exactly. Joe said all that stuff, and it all went over Frito's head. And always like, oh, money. I like money. Money's cool.
Yeah.
Good sex.
and he can't, like, Frito can't even do basic math. He's like, if you're like, oh, well, if I earn 30 billion and the time machine costs 20 billion, and Frito can't work out that math in his head. So,
yeah. So basically Frito decides to help them, and they also need to look for Rita, like you said. Mm-hmm. So they find Rita, you know, working in the corner. He updates her about what's happening. 500 years have gone by. She's freaking out about Upgrade, you know, going, oh, Upgrade's going to want his money, you know, just, you know, kind of.
Yeah. And because Rita lied to him when they were first waiting to get into the chambers, Joe thinks that she is a painter and that Upgrade is her boyfriend. And he never really picks up on what it is that Rita actually does for a living.
Yeah, I thought that part was kind of, I don't know if the movie needed that, but I thought it was interesting enough.
Yeah, he's very average intelligent. So he's not really a smart guy. He's just an average guy. But in this world, average intelligence is still far smarter than the average person in the future. So,
right. To quote Smash Mouth, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
This is true. Yeah.
Hey now.
Yeah. He was looking kind of dumb with his finger and his thumb in the shape of an L on his forehead.
I don't remember the rest of it. I'm sorry. I'm no good at this.
Yes, that's good. It speaks well of you that you don't.
Yeah. I'm lucky I remembered that part I said. I didn't remember.
Yeah.
I remember
the whole thing.
Oh, all right. So Smash Mouth.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go. Sorry.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Save it for when we review Mystery Men, all right? Let's not go.
Okay. Ahead. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We could. It's got Ben Stiller and Janine Garofalo. So.
Ooh. That's another movie I saw in the theater. I thought that movie was way better than people gave it credit for.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining. They also have a character with a lot of branding on them. So.
Ooh. All right, guys. Maybe.
All right, we'll pencil that in for the future.
We'll pencil that
Mystery
in.
Mystery Men.
You're not writing down anything, are you?
I am not. I am just gesturing in the air.
You son of a bee.
But yeah, so there's some shenanigans. They're trying to escape from the police because they're still like a wanted fugitive. Because
it gets kind of like Logan's Run around here.
Yeah, it is kind of Logan's Run. But he is eventually like recaptured.
Because basically basically what happens is because he still has the barcode in his arm. Like some laser was able to catch it, and they automatically are like, "Oh, you're harboring a fugitive in your car, Mr. Freeman."
Yeah, yeah. And this is another example that, you know, Joe is not that smart in his own right. It never occurs to him, like, I should just cover up the barcode so it's not scanned.
Yeah, just get just wear a long sleeve shirt. What's the problem here?
Yeah, exactly. Just like get a little bit of cloth and just wrap it around your wrist, buddy.
Yeah, that's all you gotta do. Just some wristbands.
Never
occurs
to him. Never occurs.
Nope.
But Joe is recaptured and he's brought to the White House because by this point they've gotten the results of the IQ test that he took in prison. And it turns out he is the smartest man in the world.
Right. And in the part of the White House staff, we see another familiar face, David Herman, who was also in Office Space.
Yes. Yes. He's playing the Secretary of State.
Secretary of State brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Yes, true. Because he gets paid every time he mentions that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we have uncredited Sarah Rue as the, I think she's, I forget.
She's the Attorney General. They're introducing everyone. They say, and Funbags here is the Attorney General. why is she uncredited in this movie? I couldn't find that.
I don't know. But yeah, for some reason she just appears uncredited, but she is in the movie.
Yeah.
And also, there's another thing I kind of like. All the people that work in the administration, no one wears suits. They all kind of wear, what would you call it? Like a smock or something like that with, the American flag on it. And they wear, a gold chain around their neck with the presidential seal.
It's a big medallion. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the size of a hubcap. I was like, that's a nice...
They got bling in the future.
Yeah. Oh, that bling for days. And so then Joe meets the president of the United States, President Dwayne Camacho, played by Mr. Terry Crews.
President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
You know what? I apologize. I meant no disrespect to...
Show him some goddamn respect. But yeah, it's played by Terry Crews, who I've become quite a fan of through Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Terry Crews is awesome.
Yeah, he brings it. He's full of energy in this one. Of course, the president is a ex-porn star and a wrestling champion. And I mean, at the time, of course, that seemed ridiculous. Oh, somebody in show business being president—that's absurd. And
it was satire. Yes.
Yes, and then also I thought, oh, it's a he's a ex-wrestler named Dwayne.
And yeah,
that makes me think of The Rock. hey, wait a minute. Weren't people saying The Rock should be president a few years ago?
They were, yes.
Oh, my God. And then I cried.
Because having people from entertainment go into politics, that never backfires.
Never. Remember what a great job of Schwarzenegger did and that other guy?
Yeah.
Mean Gene? I don't know. Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, Jesse Ventura.
That was fantastic. Up in Minnesota. Oy, caray. All right, So
they tell Joe, because you're the smartest guy in the world, we're going to put you on the cabinet. You're going to be Secretary of the Interior.
Yes, and then he gets sworn in at the House of Representatives.
Yeah, yes.
And I thought that was a nice touch, too. Like, they have, like, a jumbotron in the house,
in the House
of Representatives. And, of course, it's, like, you know, stadiums and people drinking Mountain Dew in big gulps.
And President Camacho, he gives this big speech about how, you know, this is the smartest guy in the world, and he's going to be the new Secretary of Interior, and he's going to solve all their problems, and, you know, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, because also at this point, we should also mention, of course, everything, you know, everything's dirty, everything's on the decline, the economy's in the shitter.
Yeah, we got a, like a Dust Bowl thing going on.
Right.
None of the plants are growing for some reason.
Yeah, and there's not enough French fries and burrito coverings to go around.
Which, I mean, that's the real tragedy.
Yeah, I need burrito coverings for my children. How am I going to feed my kids?
Yeah.
I also liked how in the House of Representatives, they also have ads in the background, like Pepsi ads, and instead of American Express, it's American Express.
Yeah, you see a lot of words like misspelled throughout. They're showing the trial and it says like our artist depiction, but depiction is spelled with like an S-H-U-N at the end. And a lot of cute stuff like that.
And there's literally just advertisings everywhere, just logos everywhere. It's just like, Jesus Lord.
And Joe doesn't really want to take the job. He's like, I don't even know what the Secretary of Interior does. But President Camacho is like, nah, don't worry, it'll be fine.
Yeah, because he's basically saying, like, if you fix our problems, I'll give you a full pardon. You know, you won't go back to jail. But if you don't fix our problems, I am going to kick your smart balls all the way up the roof of your smart mouth.
Yeah, which sounds painful.
Yes, and back to jail you go.
Yeah. And, you know, Terry Crews, very strong man. I have no doubt that he could do that if he wanted to.
He is a muscular fellow. I think he used to play football, if I'm not mistaken. I think he
did. He played a few seasons of football and before he went into the acting. And, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, dude is yoked.
Yeah.
As the kids say. So at this point, Joe.
I think he works out.
What? Really?
Yeah, I think he works out.
Like Pilates and stuff? And
probably, yeah.
Yeah. He does some a crunch here or there, some light yoga. I could see that.
Yeah, he does some crunches.
Yeah, you know, he has a Peloton.
Yeah.
I could see that. So Joe figures, well, looks like I have no choice. I got to solve these people's problems. I go back to jail. So he brings in Fredo to help him. And while he kind of looks like he's trying to help these people with their problem, he's also asking Fredo about the time machine. Because they kind of got split up at one point because they were trying to get to the time machine by taking the shuttle at Costco.
And there's like a gigantic Costco that's like literally miles long.
Yeah, and we find out that's the Costco was where Fredo got his law degree.
Yes, and Costco is kind of like, you know, the buildings you see in the future. Like some of the shelves are like toppled over and leaning up against each other. It's, you know, nothing's maintained well in the future because people are dumb.
Yeah, and one thing I liked is when they went into the Costco, there was a greeter there saying, "Welcome to Costco. I love you."
Yes.
I think that was like a nice little commentary there. And there was also in the Costco, there's a Starbucks, but now Starbucks is in the, I guess, adult entertainment sector now.
Yeah, like, I mean, sex is basically merged with everything in this future. Starbucks, they now give handjobs.
Full body, you know, latte.
Like, yeah, they're advertising like full release lattes. And earlier when they're hospital, it's instead of U.S. News and World Report, what do they change the title to? It was like, you know, Jugs and World Report or something like that.
I missed that one. I believe it's something like that. But yeah, when I first saw this movie, I was like, oh, that's the actual Starbucks logo. Starbucks is cool with that? Mm-hmm. Holy cow. That really shocked me.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think if you use like real logos and stuff like that, you have to get permission from the company. So I don't know if they had deals with all these people. You would think if they had all these corporate deals, they would have had a budget above $2 million.
Yeah, I think so, because from what I've read, Starbucks did okay it, but I was still shocked to see that. And I think they were also trying to get Walmart involved. I don't think Walmart was willing to play ball, and, you know, understandably so. Because, you know, Lord knows what they were going to say about them.
Yeah. So.
But yeah. So basically, Joe talks to Fredo about where the time machine is. And, you know, Fredo kind of draws him a map. So Joe plans on, like, getting Rita as soon as he can find her.
Yeah. Because he's Secretary of the Interior now. He says, can you find this woman and bring her to me? Because he just tells him that, you know, he wants to have sex with her because it's easier than... They don't understand any other explanation.
Right, yeah. He says, like, oh, you know, she's important to me. And they're like, what? Oh, important. It's like for sex. Sex.
Right.
You're going to have sex. Sex with her. You're going to sex.
Yeah.
That's basically what they were saying. I'm not even making that up. That's like...
No, yeah. That's about the level of articulation that these people have.
Right. What I said was eloquent.
Yes. Yes. You would be the head of speech writing.
Dare I dream?
Yeah. So Joe gets together with Rita again. They try to get away. He's like, oh, I'm just going to go talk to Rita behind this bush. And then he like looks up at the map that Fredo drew out for the time machine. And it's just like, you know, you are here. And then an arrow winds around and then it just says time machine. Misspelled.
Yeah. He was like, damn it, Fredo.
Yeah, it's useless.
Yeah, and I think at one point, like, because they're away in the bushes, I think one of the security detail calls in. It's like, hey, everything okay, Mr. Interior? Like, me and the boys were wondering, you know, if it's cool if we could, like, go family style on her after you're done.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God.
Jesus. Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah. So they can't really get away. So Joe's kind of stuck doing this job. So he's like, okay, well, I may as well take a look and try and figure out the food shortages and, you know, why your plants aren't growing and why the economy's crippled and all that, and do my best to solve these problems. And he discovers when he's looking at all the dead crops that they're being irrigated with Brondo, which is like this Gatorade-like product.
Right. They hinted to that in the earlier on in the movie when he went to like a water fountain to drink and it wasn't water. It was just this like energy sports drink, the Brondo.
Yeah, it comes out like this bright green liquid. And he's like, oh, do you have anywhere I can drink water? And they're like, water like from the toilet?
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, I just want to drink some water. And the guy was like,
Yeah. So water, they soon find out that water has basically been outlawed in the future because corporations have taken over everything. Brondo became so big, they purchased the FDA, the FCC, and the USDA. So they've now just said, we're watering plants with Brondo.
Right. And they did that in the budget crisis of 2330. So I guess Brondo just gave them the money and then they just bought up everything. So yeah, everybody just drinks Brondo now and feeds Brondo to their babies.
Yeah. There's a funny shot where the woman has like a baby bottle filled with Brondo and the baby's like trying to swat it away. Like, no, I don't want this.
John, it's got electrolytes.
Yeah. It's what plants crave. Yeah. No one knows what electrolytes are or why plants crave it, but that's what the advertising says. So we of course believe it.
Right. So then Joe pitches this idea to his staff saying, well, let's feed these water to these plants and they will grow. And then they're like, wait, water like from the toilet?
Yeah.
It's like, but Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
Yeah.
It's like, I never seen no plant grow out of no toilet.
And he can't get this idea across to people. So finally he just says, Okay, the plants talk to me and they want water. They don't want Brondo. So let's just give them water.
And so he was able to, yeah, talk his way into it, and they gave plants water to grow, because it's just crazy enough to work.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that, of course, it takes a while to work, so we don't see immediate results from that. But in the meantime, Brondo's stock drops to zero, and half the population lose their jobs.
Right, and I believe, as the narrator said at this point, dumb, angry mobs took to the streets, rioting and calling for Joe's head.
He's at the White House. He's standing at the White House. He looks out the window, and yeah, angry mobs are storming the White House. I mean, angry mobs storming a building in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine?
Can you?
What a weird science fiction world this depicts.
Oh, God. I'm so scared.
Anyway.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
People are pissed. They storm the White House. And so Joe is arrested again because they don't think that putting water on the plants did anything, and everybody lost their jobs for no reason, so they're angry. And he's sentenced to 1 day of rehabilitation.
Right, and at this point they cut to a Fox News channel newscast talking about him going to rehabilitation. And of course the newscasters are a shirtless male model, like a wrestler type. And
yeah, bodybuilder, and the woman's like in a bustier.
Right, and I was like, wow,
she's really not blonde though. So Fox has apparently discovered diversity in the next 500 years.
It's like, oh, look at them being woke. All right, go on, Fox.
Look at them. It's a woman with dark hair.
Whoa!
Oh my God.
And yeah, so
I would have thought in this world that she'd just be straight up topless, but
yeah, exactly, like pasties or.
Like twirling them while she gives the news.
Yeah, Fox News pasties.
But I was wondering, you know, during the movie, I was like, how the hell did they get permission from Fox? And of course, it's a 20th Century Fox movie, so
there you go.
But they use the act. They straight up use the actual Fox News logo.
Yeah, like just straight up. And also, we see a cameo from Thomas Hayden Church, who plays the CEO of Brondo.
Yeah, nice little one scene wonder there. I guess he and Mike Judge were friends. They must have worked together before or something, but
must have. And this is the point where they show the artist renditions of what happened in court, as you know, Joe was, you know, pleading in court, and of course the newscast is like, then he was all like fancy, like la la la, no, the plants are going to grow or whatever, and. Mm-hmm. And the prosecutor wasn't having it. And he was like, whatever, man, he's guilty as shit. Man, you suck.
Yeah.
I believe that's how the courtroom drama went.
Yep, he sucks. And he's sentenced to 1 day of rehabilitation. And Joe's like, oh, well, that doesn't sound that bad. But we find out in the future world that it's like a your 1 day of rehabilitation, you're basically sentenced to die in a monster truck rally.
Yeah, it's basically kind of like Thor Ragnarok. But with monster trucks and I didn't have a good way to end that sentence, but yeah, that's it.
No, that's all right. That's
the battle scene in Thor Ragnarok, but with monster trucks.
Yeah.
So then Rita visits Joe in prison, and then Rita was like, "Well, can't you escape like you did last time?" And he's like, "No, they fixed that. They changed me to a giant rock."
Yeah.
See, they're not so dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So they learn from their mistakes.
Right. So at this point, Joe tells Rita to find Fredo. You know, it seems like there's no hope for me to get out of this. So find Fredo, have him take you to the time machine, just go back in time without me. I'll, you know, face the consequences here.
Right.
And so then we see Rita kind of packing up, getting ready to go. Joe is kind of facing the consequences of his action. He's getting ready to duel with the head rehabilitation officer, Beef Supreme, who's coming out of retirement for this one.
Yeah, yeah. And Beast Supreme, played by Andrew Wilson, Luke Wilson's brother.
The other brother. The other
Wilson. Yeah, not that one. Not Owen. It's Andrew Wilson. So.
Right. I was like, I always forget there was like a third Wilson.
You don't see him as much.
Yeah, he's like the fourth Marx brother. Where he's like, oh yeah, there's Zeppo there too, yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't even know if he's still in the business. And he doesn't look as much like the other two brothers, but...
No, not at all.
He has apparently, he's been in the entertainment industry since the early 90s and appeared in more than 24 films.
Good for him.
His last credits were in 2017.
Oh, wow. All right, so maybe he just got out the game. Said goodbye to the game.
Yeah, no.
All right, whatever. Andrew Wilson, call us. Call in. Let us know what the hell you're doing these days.
Yep.
You know, you could be the third on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they give Joe, because we see like them bringing in these two monster trucks with like drills and like, you know, fucking spikes on them, like, and mm-hmm. they're called like the ass plower or the bulldozer or the ass dozer plower, and yeah. they give Joe a little broken down hatchback with like a dildo tied to it at the front,
right, for some reason. And people are so dumb. Like, he still has the rock chain to him, and they can't close the driver's side door because his chain is coming out. So finally, they just like dump the rock on the back of the hatchback, which crushes half the car, of course.
Right. And then they're like, "Oh, we're not so dumb now, are we?"
Mm.
So they send Joe out to fend for himself, chained to a giant rock in a broken down hatchback with a dildo on the front.
Right. This seems like a fair fight.
Yes. The odds, may the odds be ever in his favor.
Yeah, yeah. And Beef is coming out in like this third, you know, mega huge vehicle, but it's so huge that it can't fit through the opening, and it brings down half the stadium on top of it.
Right. So everybody's like, oh, I guess he was too big. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, hope he's all right.
All right, yeah. Oh, so much for Beef Supreme.
Yeah. But then as this happening, we see Rita packing up, asking Frida to take him to the time machine. And, you know, they both feel bad about what's to happen to Joe. They have no way to stop it. Then Rita looks out the window, and lo and behold, she sees a flower growing out of the garden.
So she's, dun, like, dun, dun.
She's like, oh, it's working. We got to get down to the monster truck rally and save Joe. And yeah. So they go in their car. They see all the crops are growing. It is starting to work. So they're trying to get to the monster truck execution in order to save Joe. And
yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. And it gets crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit gets crazy, you guys. Yes. So like Joe's kind of, he maneuvers around, he gets the other two trucks to kind of take each other out. But by this point, Beef Supreme has dug his way out of the rubble, and he's got like a flamethrower, and he's going after Joe with the flamethrower. And
right. And so while that's happening, Rita and Frito make their way to President Camacho with like a plant in their hand saying, oh, it's working. But I think Camacho still doesn't want to. He feels like, oh, no, it's over. It's done. I'm, you know, we're here watching a monster truck rally.
Yeah.
And so Rita decides to get a hold of one of the cameramen at the execution. And of course, the cameraman is played by Greg Pitt, who was, again, in Office Space as... You're right over there?
Yeah. No, I was just doing his bit from Office Space.
Just
show her my O face.
Okay. Got it. All right, cool. I thought... Yeah. I don't know. I can't see you. I don't know what's going on over there in your end.
Okay.
All right. But she decided to grab the cameraman, take him out to where the plants are growing and videotape it, and she wants to put it on the jumbo screen so everybody can see that that Joe's plan did work and Joe not die.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. Like, she takes him out. She tells Frito to take the cameraman out to where the plants are to have him videotape it. And while she gets on the master control board that controls the camera and the jumbotron. So Frito and the cameraman go out there, and of course they're two dummies. Of course, they see another Starbucks, and of course, it's half off hand jobs. So they're like, "Oh, I like I like hand jobs." And it's like, "Wait, weren't we supposed to do something? Because like that lady gave us money to do something, and they're like, it's probably to get the hand jobs. It's like, yeah, right. that sounds right.
So they go. So they get a little distracted.
Yes, full body lattes. So then that happens. Joe's fighting to the death with Beef Supreme. He's able to get on a microphone to sort of plead his case to the people, make a very heartfelt speech about, no, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I didn't know. You know, I was just trying to help you. Why are you trying to kill the one person that's trying to help you? And of course, it falls on deaf ears because everybody's dumb, and heartfelt, well-spoken speeches, you know, get to laugh in this world, and no one knows nothing. So while Joe's fighting to the death, the two dudes, Fredo and the cameraman, come out after their lattes, you know, nice and frothy. They come out.
Oh,
I'm sorry. All right, I had to say it. It was right there.
You didn't, and it wasn't.
So they come out, and I think they get into a fight, and then the camera they get into like a fist fight, and then the camera falls to the ground, lands right on the plant, and then Frito's like, oh yeah, the plant thing, and then he videotapes all the plants. Rita's able to broadcast that onto the Jumbotron. Everybody sees that the plants are growing. Joe's plan worked. President
Joe knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, Camacho stops the fight, and he says, this guy just got himself a full-ass pardon.
And which is the best kind of pardon.
That's right. Not half-ass, full-ass.
Yeah.
So Joe saves the day. They have a party at the White House, like on the White House lawn. There's a DJ. President Camacho's drinking out of a Jack Daniels bottle. It's full on white trash.
Yep.
Rita, you know, Joe still wants to go back in time, back to his time. He asks Rita, you know, what she wants to do. She wants to stay. She's kind of gotten acclimated to life here.
Yeah, she says, like, I might fall back into old patterns if I go back there, so I think I'm better off staying here.
Right. She apparently she got a job as a she's been offered a job as a CEO at Starbucks.
Yes. So,
President Camacho calls Joe up. You know, they still call him not sure because he hasn't corrected anybody. And Camacho wants him to be his vice president right there on the spot. Joe still is like declines it because he wants to go back to his time. They need me back there. And they're like, well, we need you here. We need you to fix all our plans and shit and fix our economy and our garbage and balances. But, you know, they meant avalanches. And, you know, he sees that he's more needed here than he is back in his time. So he's like, all right, you guys talk me into it. I'll stay and help you out. You know, I won't go to the time machine. And then I think at that point, somebody's like, yay, you're staying. That time machine ride sucks anyway. And he's like,
wait a minute, ride? And Fredo takes Rita and Joe to the time machine. And it is just an amusement park ride with just going through history. And it's just such, it's things like, you know, Charlie Chaplin led the Nazi party.
Right. And
World War II was fought with dinosaurs.
Yeah, all types of misinformation, which, you know, it's, of course, something we don't have to worry about now.
Nope. All information everywhere is totally accurate.
Absolutely. Everything's fine in the future.
Yes.
Fredo kind of comes clean saying, yeah, I always knew this was a ride, but you guys were just giving me money and I like money.
And he's like, but if the time machine didn't work, you wouldn't have gotten any money. And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh.
Wait, what?
Wow. So,
So then, of course, it ends with Joe becoming vice president, and then goes on to be president. He makes
After Camacho's term, he is elected president, and apparently, there's a peaceful transition of power. Like the previous president is just like, oh, hey, this new person has been elected president. I'm just going to let that happen.
It's a wild idea.
Science fiction has funny ideas.
Oh no.
Oh. So anyway, Joe's elected president. He ends up marrying Rita, and they have the world's three smartest children.
Right, and Frito becomes vice president. Joe makes Frito VP. Frito takes on eight wives, and he has 32 stupid kids.
Yes, so the problem continues. There are more stupid people than smart people.
Here we go again.
Wah, wah.
So basically it ends with the narrator saying, all right, maybe Joe didn't save mankind, but he got the ball rolling.
So
that's the film, you'd think, but because after that, we get a post-credit scene as well.
What?
I know. I didn't remember. I totally forgot about this.
I had a feeling there was something coming on with this because, like, throughout the film, Rita is like, "Oh, I gotta get back because Upgrade is gonna be pissed at me. I gotta give him his money." And you know, she tells Joe that, "Oh, Upgrade's my manager," and Joe never quite gets it. He never quite picks up on what it is that Rita did does for a living.
Doesn't connect those dots.
Nope, he's not that good at that.
So in the post-credit scene, we go back to the garbage avalanche, and we see a third hibernation chamber, and out of that chamber, Upgrade comes out. And, Scarface, the rapper, Upgrade comes out, dust off his purple fur suit and his crushed velvet hat, and he says, "I'm going to find this hoe." And we see him walk out and down the streets in the future, which it kind of does
little sequel tease there.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense because in the beginning of this movie, they say that Upgrade got arrested and put in prison. So how is he able to be in this frozen chamber? It's a little inconsistent there, but I'll allow it this one time.
Okay, well that's big of you.
I'm tough but fair. and that's Idiocracy. I don't know, John, what were your thoughts about this film?
I thought the movie was okay. It didn't quite rise above okay for me personally. I think it had a lot of good ideas in it, but it didn't have enough like really big laughs for me. And it wears out its welcome. It's a short movie, but it wears out its welcome before you hit the end, you know?
Right. Like this film is like 84 minutes, not even an hour and a half. So it goes by really quickly. I think I'm going to agree with you on that as well. Like it's one of those films where I love the concept of it. It's a great, it's a great idea. I don't know if the execution was fully there yet.
It's certainly not as good of a movie as Office Space, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that too. Like it's one of those things where I love the concept. I think it's like a really brilliant take on the future. I mean, like people have been talking about the de-evolution of people for a while in other type of writings and works, such as I read from Wikipedia, The Time Machine from H.G. Wells.
I've heard of that.
The Marching Morons by Cyril M. Kornbluth. Akin.
Oh yeah, sure.
And of course, akin to the Epsilon Minus Semi Morons of Aldous Huxley. And his Brave New World.
Yes, sure.
But yeah, I was just going to say Devo because Devo has been talking about the de-evolution of people for since the first album.
That's a good thought. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
It's
they are not men.
They are Devo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bah, bah, bah. Do, 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 do. But but yeah, it's an idea I really love, and I think I agree with you. There aren't a ton of big laughs in this movie. It's more interesting than funny in a lot of parts.
Yeah, it's kind of like mildly amusing.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know why it's so short too. Like, I felt like maybe I would have liked to maybe had more time or so. It could like maybe flushed out some of the characters a little bit more.
I feel like it was probably re-edited a few times because apparently the early test screenings were really bad and they did some reshoots on it. So the short length may be due to that.
I could see that, I still think it's like a film that was ahead of its time. It's very prophetic to, people have been saying it now, like I think we've talked about around the 2016 election, people were looking back at this movie then and saying, oh, wow, this movie got a lot of stuff right. And I mean, I'm inclined to agree. I would say, yeah, I would agree with you. It's not a perfect movie, but it's definitely a very interesting movie to watch with a great concept.
Yeah, yeah. Like we said, they started talking about this movie a little more when the 2016 presidential campaign was ramping up. And Mike Judge, he actually told Time magazine, he said, "I'm no prophet. I was off by 490 years.
Damn it.
So, yeah. And he says, you know, on that Fast Company article, is the movie talks a lot about politics, but it also goes into entertainment. And it seems like, I'm sorry, this is the interview questioning. And they say, and it seems like Ow My Balls is something that could be popular on YouTube right now. And Judge says, well, I've got to admit, it's not like I'm above that. I'm the Beavis and Butthead guy. We probably could have done better than that. And the most popular movie in this world is just a movie called Ass, which is just a close-up of a person's ass. And he said the Ass movie was kind of, to me, distilling everything down to the basics. And that the funny thing is, we had a theater full of people that we'd recruited, and we actually shot that ass and we put it up there, and it was getting huge laughs. And at some point, I just thought, what are we doing? We should just release Ass and stop wasting all this time for a story and stuff, since it was literally getting huge laughs.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. There are, I mean, I don't know. I do look at the world now, especially what happened this past week. I was like, oh yeah, there is evidence that we are not getting smarter as a society. I mean,
yeah,
I think at one point one of the GOP people used the word irregardless when he was defending himself. And I don't want to say the guy's name because he's I'm not a fan, but he was using the word irregardless to defend himself in the White House. And then I think a lot of people were saying irregardless. That's not a word. Why is he saying irregardless? Yeah. Sure enough, it is a word. It's in the dictionary. Merriam-Webster had put the word irregardless in the, so I was like, oh no,
like, I mean, the word literally now has come to mean, I think in some dictionaries it means figuratively, which it's so dumb.
I know. I mean, I think also around the time of the 2016 election, the co-writer of this film, Ethan Coen, tweeted out, "I never expected Idiocracy to become a documentary."
Yeah.
So there are a lot of hoo boy moments that's happened here, and people are looking back to this movie now, as we said, like very prophetic. I think actually at one point, like Fox wanted to do some ads for it using President Camacho, like do some reshoots of it.
But, yeah, they were talking about that.
But then like Judge was like said, "Oh no, it kind of fell apart and the ads are dead."
I thought the studio like put the kibosh on that.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that what I said?
No. You were saying the studio wanted to do the ads.
Oh, yeah. Right. Sorry. No, the studio's one.
We are getting dumber over the course of this podcast, people.
We really are.
Yeah.
It's happening in real time, people. Listen to us get dumb.
I'm crapping right now as we're recording.
I'm not gonna say what I'm doing.
Fuck you. I'm eating.
Oh my Lord in heaven. All right. So I mean, I guess in closing, I would say, yeah, watch Idiocracy. It's
worth seeing. It's not going to blow you away,
right? But you will see a lot of moments in it where you watch it and then you think about what's going on in the world today, and it'll make you say, "Oh fuck,
oh fuck, we are screwed as a nation.
Oh God."
Oh God, it's just going to keep on getting worse.
Right.
And
so,
worse.
Yeah.
And
so, worse. So in conclusion, I mean, I think I'd say the best way to save humanity at this point is all you smart people start having babies like right now.
That's right. Yeah. Get your freak on.
Get to going raw. Get to boning.
And you know, if you're not a smart person, go out there and go sleep with a smart person and have unprotected sex and have babies with them.
Right. I think at that point, if an unsmart person has sex with a smart person, you'll get an average intelligence kid. So that's good.
I mean, you know, hey, can't hurt.
As soon as
better than nothing.
I see what you did there.
What did I do?
No, better than nothing. I thought that was okay.
Oh no, I wish I could make a pun that clever.
Yeah. So yeah, Idiocracy.
I have gotten very, very dumb over the last hour and a half, and
Oh boy. Yes. And on that dumb note, yeah, that's our podcast, guys. Thanks again for listening. As always, you can find us on the Twitter at SNL Nerds Show. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DARIN Credible.
That's right. That's right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, but why would you want to? I'm at Trumbull Comic, TRUMBULL, and the word comic.
Right. So I guess there hasn't been any official word as to when SNL's coming back, but as soon as we find out something, we'll definitely let you guys know. We're the number one content provider in all SNL news, so we will keep you updated as the events unfold.
Yes. So in the meantime, we gotta fill this podcast time. We gotta do a podcast about something with some thing with an SNL connection. So what in the world can we possibly do next week?
I don't know. We could do a movie. Would you want to
A movie starring an SNL alum?
Yeah, you want to do that?
Wait. What if, and I'm just throwing this out there, what if we did a movie with two SNL alums?
Whoa. I mean, there's such a thing.
Game changer, right? Right?
My head is on fire right now.
I'm going to up the ante. What if we did a movie with two SNL alums who were both original cast members?
Dude, you can't see it. There is smoke coming out of my ears right now.
I know.
Like I'm a Looney Tunes character. I can't wrap my mind around this.
So, I mean, what would you say if we did the movie Spies Like Us, starring Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd?
Good sir, you had me at hello.
There you go.
Even though you never said hello, you had me at hello.
I did not. If I had at any point said hello, I would have had you.
Right. But yeah, guys, that's our next movie. We're doing Spies Like Us, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
Spies Like Us, yes.
That's right. The movie that set the world ablaze.
Ooh, what do you do? Yeah, with a Paul McCartney theme song that he apparently hates.
He's
never included on any of his compilation albums.
Dude, I totally forgot about that. Holy moly.
I'm posting the video. You must see this video.
Yeah, when you were singing like that, I was like, is that a Trumbull original? What's he singing right now?
It is not. It is a near forgotten Paul McCartney song.
Ooh, what do you do?
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, come back and listen to us talk about Spies Like Us, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Frank Oz.
Yeah.
Other people.
Yeah, where is Spies Like Us featured right now? It's on some streaming service or another, I believe.
I believe it's on HBO Max. Oh, we forgot to mention, you can watch Idiocracy on HBO Max. It's on there right now.
That's right. And so,
I believe Spies Like Us is on HBO Max as well.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to look it up right now. Spies Like Us. There it is. Boom. Added onto my list.
Whoop, there it is. Whoop.
Yeah.
Tag team back again.
So yeah, so we're going back to the 1980s, the Cold War.
That's right.
We're hopping doing spy stuff.
We're hopping in a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
Doing Spies Like Us. So that's our podcast, guys. And as always, thanks for listening. Please rate, review, give us a review. It's been forever. What are you doing in your life? Come on.
That's right. I mean, you're in lockdown. You're in quarantine. What are you gonna do besides review podcasts?
For God's sakes, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
That's right. And you know, yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word about the podcast. It really does help. So. But we'll be back next week with the Spies Like Us. And until then, nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.